It's kind of mixtape. I'm here. Big Cat's here. KFC's here. I appreciate them for joining me. Tyler's not here. I don't know if Tyler's ever going to be here again. I hope he is. But I don't know. He's taking a break. If you're listening to this, I'm sure you know what happened the last week and a half or so. And he's hurt right now. I'm not going to lie. He's hurt. I'm hurt. I don't think many people really feel great right now. And I don't fully know what the fix is. I've had almost everyone in the company ask what to do. And I think of myself as at least a smart ass who has an answer to everything, the bare minimum. I don't really have an answer to this. In the past, when this company's faced adversity, it hasn't been completely self-inflicted like this. And I think that's why this hurts different, because it was avoidable. And it's just a fucking mess. So yeah, Tyler's not here. This episode does have Tyler's blessing. I wouldn't do it if Tyler wasn't okay with this. We are still a company. This is still a job. As much fun as this podcast is to do with my best friend, it's still a job, and it has to move forward. Tyler understands that, even on a hiatus, a break, whatever it may be. So that's why I'm here. I'm thankful that two of the pillars of this company can be here with me to help me do this, so I don't have to do it by myself. But yeah, it fucking sucks. I'm not having fun. Tyler's fun levels, I called him, I checked in, upsettingly low. Lowest they've been in centuries. And I don't really know where to go from here, both in life and with this goddamn episode.
Well, I feel like what I can hear in your voice, you're putting a lot on yourself. And I know from my point of view and other people's point of views, we've been putting a lot on you too, because it's like, I've talked directly to Tyler, but I also like, I'm trying to figure out what he's feeling. Let me go to Coley. Like, what should I do, Coley? Tell me what to do, Coley. And then that's not fair, because you don't have the answer, but guess what? Like, nobody does. That, like, right. The problem with this situation and these type of situations is that, like, nobody, it's funny. It's like the right answer is actually kind of obvious. It's like, let's all be good to each other. Let's not harm each other. But also life is a lot more complicated. So like, I don't know what the answer is. I totally understand what Tyler's feeling, and I totally understand taking a hiatus. I hope that a hiatus is what it takes, because I think the reaction when that happened from people on both sides, like for it, against it, for the cause, it was all so emotionally charged, so rash, so impulsive, and that's the one thing I think you can't do is like immediately respond, immediately talk. Because that's when you have stupid comments like Dave, and that's when you have crazy podcasts like Two Bigs, and it just made it all worse. And I think Tyler's always been smart about just like, whoa, like slow down. And so, you know, I'm sure a week and a half has felt like a year and a half for you, Coley, but hopefully in the end, you know, the time is what he needs to like, you know, I'm sure you're so angry at Dave and Barstool, and then hopefully it dissipates a little bit. And if it doesn't, that's obviously, you know, his call and his feelings, but I'm hoping a hiatus is what it takes.
Yeah. I'll push back on one thing, Coley. I think I've talked to Tyler a bunch too, and he should take as much time as he needs. I did give him a Madden code. So he did try out the new Madden season, and he said he kind of liked it. So there was like at least one brief moment where I think he might have had like a half a smile.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not easy for him, and it's an impossible spot. And I think more than anything, Tyler is one of the nicest, but most talented guys I know. Like he as a human and a friend, I love spending time with him, doing content with him. But it's also he's so talented, and I think. So that's the frustrating part for me. And I talked about it with him on Sunday at length, and I think we've all probably gone through this, is that like when something like this happens and you have to have some introspection and take a step back, you don't feel like being funny and you don't feel like being creative. And that's the part that eats away at me, knowing that Tyler, someone who is so creative and is so funny, doesn't feel like being like that right now for all the right reasons. But it sucks to see, because I know he wants to be making people laugh and making content. And I hope that, you know, through a little time away, that can happen. I mean, the whole thing sucks. Everything sucks. I mean,
there is a level, like we were saying before we started, there's advertisers who expect performance, and you've got, you know, Coley, you've got this thing that you're growing. And so Coley can't stop, and you're trying to do what's right for your friend and coworker while trying to still uphold your end of the bargain for Barstool and Dave. I mean, you are in a very difficult spot, but that's where, you know, I hope that things like this, you know, we can bridge the gap on Mixtape if that's what Tyler needs. And hopefully it's just keeping the seat warm for a little bit longer.
Yeah. The only reason I'm comfortable going is that it's possible that this is bridging the gap. He'll come back. We'll talk about it again and hopefully just move forward and keep doing what we were doing. But if he doesn't come back, I told Erica this, the show's dead. I'm not going to fill him in.
No.
His fucking logo, his face is the logo. Mm-hmm. I'm not changing anything. Mm-hmm. I just won't talk about basketball anymore. That's just what it is. And it sucks, but I can't keep going after going this far. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then the way the world works, the Celtics will win the NBA title in the bubble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dude, the commentary that would be coming out from Tyler right now about the bubble.
The bubble food. Dude. Holy shit, that bubble food, man.
Oh, he would have in time with that, man.
As someone who can eat anything, I looked at it and everyone was roasting it, and I was like, it's not that bad. Like, it was kind of good.
If there was just a little bit of ham in the bubble meal, it would have been the perfect. Right. That might have brought him out of retirement. Come on back. We got to talk about ham in the bubble.
Yeah. Kevin's point, though, about the emotion of last week and taking a step back, I think is important. You know, in the moment, it feels like the world's coming down on you. I truly don't think that we're a bad company. And I don't think Dave's racist. And I think that, you know, we have spent many, many years trying to make people laugh. We've missed many times, many, many times. I said this, I can't even remember because we do so much stuff, but like do this thought exercise. And this isn't excusing anything. Like I'm not trying to excuse anything because, you know, we've been through this road. Like Dave shouldn't say the N word. That's very clear. Like we can all agree on that. I also think Dave's not racist, but I sometimes will like look back on, I was even looking back. So there was a clip. It's Miguel Montero's birthday. And the Cubs network tweeted out his grand slam game one, 2016 NLCS. And I was trying to find a video because I was in the bleachers for it. And I went back and looked at that day, and I'm just looking at tweets, and I'm like, I wasn't very funny. Like, and they're just regular tweets. You know what I mean? Like if you look back at yourself, I would hope that you cringe a little bit because you're like, you're evolved as a person and you're not the same person. And you hopefully have gotten better at what we're doing and better at making people laugh and not saying things that hurt other people. And that was my whole blog was like, I'm not apologizing to the Twitter mob, because let's be honest, that's bad faith what they're doing. They don't care. If the people who don't like us will always not like us, whether I say sorry and bend the knee or not. What I'm apologizing to is fans of mine, coworkers of mine who I care about deeply, who I let down. And that means more to me. Like those are the people that I don't want to let down, that I don't want to hurt. I don't want them to watch something and be like, ooh, what's up with that? Like that. And unfortunately that's what happened. And that's where I felt sorry. And that's where I felt bad. And hopefully we can get better.
I think there's a third group, though. Like, it's not just you're a fan of us or you're not. I think there's people who, as big as we think we are inside of our own world, there are people who just don't know who the fuck we are.
True.
And those people, if this is the first thing they see, they're out. They join that other side.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's not just...
Especially when you're talking about, you know, Tyler said to me, I'm trying to reach a new demo for you guys.
Right.
I have to defend you guys to get to them. And I go out on a limb and I say, nah, they're good. And then this happens, and they're like, well, what the fuck happened there, Tyler? And right. I'm like, oh, that was the main thing where I was like, I am putting him personally in a bad spot because of this.
Correct.
That was what I was most sorry for. But I also, beyond the personal level, understand the business level and the bigger level of, like, if he personally is doing that to this guy, and this guy, then we are doing that to a whole different demo, and we have to understand that this is the way we're portraying ourselves. Now, it's a little bit unfair because it's older stuff. I think things have changed. You know, judge me by what I'm saying now, not then. Yes, all that's true. But I totally, you know, I didn't think of it until I had a conversation with him personally. So I get it.
And I have always loved this company, always. Like, I've been attached to this company longer than anyone in this conversation, which is surprising. But it's true. I've been reading it since it was a fucking newspaper, because his best friend owns the pizza place right next to my middle and high school. You know what I mean? It was an all boys Catholic high school. He had a newspaper that had scantily clad women on the cover. Guess what ended up in the halls of the all boys Catholic high school? That right. fucking newspaper. I've been reading it before I knew what it was. When I got to college 4 years after that, I didn't even realize the paper and the website were the same fucking thing for years. So that's how, like, I'm from Boston. You know what I mean? I'm the Boston sportsman. I am Barstool 2.0. Not to pat myself on the back too fucking much, but if he was the fucking Wilt Chamberlain, I was the Kareem. You know, I was next. I was watching what he was doing, trying to be that. My goal was always to be here. That's why when people tell me, and Big Cat, I know you get this too. Kevin, you not so much. You guys are some of the good guys. Why don't you just leave and go start your own thing? No.
Right.
I want this place to work. And that doesn't mean being some PC fucking pussy place that the comment section, who thinks they're so fucking smart that they think they're the first people who've ever hated Barstool Sports. Let me show you the old fucking comment section.
Right.
You think those people liked us? No.
Those people hate us
more than you fucking people hate us.
Well, the perspective I get sometimes is, you know, like the stupid trend that's going around on Twitter right now that is describe something as boring as possible. And we did one today, the Viva La Stool account, like describe your favorite Barstool moment as boring as possible, and getting just a million replies about all these moments. And when people say, well, you know, like, you're a good one, like, first of all, shut up. That's the worst. I hate that so much, but because I'm not, I'm just a regular guy. I have faults. I make mistakes. I think that's really what people like about us, is that we are regular human beings, and we're open about it, and we don't pretend to be something we're not. But all the moments that we've, you know, all the incredible moments, the hilarious moments, the incredible people, you know, we were talking about the other day when all those PP loans were coming out. We have 200 plus employees now, in a dying industry. Like, the sum of Barstool can't be defined by one or two bad moments. And I get it. Like, those are bad moments. I totally get it, but we are so much more than that. So when people do say, like, oh yeah, just go on here, it's like, no, man, like, I love this place. I love my coworkers. I love working here. There's no job that would give me the freedom to do what I do the same way. It just wouldn't happen. And also,
let me say this.
It's, like, impossible.
You can't just go start a Barstool Sports.
Right.
Go elsewhere. Do your own thing. Like, this is where I do think that Dave was getting a raw deal. If you want to talk specifically about that moment and how he handled the reaction, yes, F minus 0%. Will not disagree with that. If you want to talk about Dave Portnoy on the whole and Barstool Sports on the whole, dude puts a lot of food on a lot of tables. Dude has stuck through a lot of bad times with a lot of people. Dude was going to pay salaries if he had to out of his own pocket. Like, he does provide a lot to a lot of people. If you're white, black, Asian, brown, guy, girl, whatever. But what you're not going to get is positive reinforcement. You're not going to get well articulated moments where he's talking about, you know, emotional issues and mental health and racism and sexism. You're going to get a bull in a china shop. But he is, like, undyingly loyal. And I get that some of the new guys, or some of the guys who don't have the same complexion or upbringing as him, might not feel that same connection. But it is there, and it is genuine. And, like, you can't just go find that elsewhere. I mean, if what Tyler needs is a company led by a guy who is at the forefront of racial relations, and he can give these speeches and warm moments, and all power to him. If he wants a place where you have complete total freedom of your content, you get paid well, and like you get support in almost every other way, then you stick around a Barstool. But it's not just as simple as like, go, you know, good guys, go make good guy Barstool. That, you know, it's a machine. It's distribution and advertising and sales. And you know, Dave has paid for lawsuits for me. And like things that you don't realize if you were just be on your own is like, oh, fuck, I can't pull this off.
Right. That's how we got Trent, because he was getting sued for a t-shirt he put out. And he reached out to Dave like, hey, how do you typically handle these things? It must be like the second career email Dave ever responded to. And that's how we got fucking Trent.
Right.
But I do think that it's not like there is a lot of nuance there. Like I love Dave. I look at this whole thing more as a family issue than a professional issue.
Right.
Like when your uncle, your brother says something you don't disagree or you don't agree with, you should be able to tell him, hey, shut the fuck up. You're better than that. That's right. The thing. He put out his second apology video where he was like, I'm going to listen. And then at the first opportunity he had to listen, he was calling out Brandon on Twitter. And the main thing he was calling out was, you haven't been here long enough for me to listen to you. And I get where he's coming from. I get all the defiance that he has, but it's just contradictory to his better apology. Whereas if I say it to him, I hope I've been here long enough. I hope he knows me well enough where I'm telling him person to person, not employee to boss. Like, hey, man, I think that was – I told him it that day when the video was happening. I told it to his face. You know what I mean? He knows where I stand on this. We've talked about it on the radio on this. It doesn't mean as much if he's not going to listen to me. You know what I mean? Like, that's where it hurts me. Like, I try
– But, like, I hear you. I also just – I don't know if it's possible for that guy. Like, I think when he apologizes, he means it.
For sure.
But when Dave has been – attacked by somebody for 20 straight years. And I think it's hard for him to differentiate, like, I'm being attacked because I deserve it. I'm being attacked because you hate me. And I think he's always going to, like, he's like a cat in the corner who's going to claw. And I know that's not right, but I also don't think it undoes what he said 2 days ago, you know? No.
So the Brandon Newman thing, too, from my perspective, I kind of understand exactly where Dave's coming from, because and actually in a weird way, I think Brandon Newman was like joking around more than people gave him credit.
I agree with that.
Twitter is very tough to decipher. I don't think Brandon Newman was like gotcha thing. He was like kind of trying to like have a, you know, like we're busting balls here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And it gets lost because it's a very emotional time and all that stuff. So I think Brandon Newman like almost gets in a weird spot because his intention wasn't to be an agitator in that
Dave, yeah.
Right. But what Dave's point there was, and Kevin and I actually talked about it on that Friday night when Mooj quits and makes, you know, the iPhone Notes app.
That's part of this, and it's bad timing because that had really nothing to do with the issue. But Dave all of a sudden was just like, well, fuck this and fuck him too. And that was a tough break for the actual issue at hand.
Right. And he quits and he basically says that you're pathetic if you stay and you're racist if you stay. And it's like, dude, you didn't even have a contract. You've been here for a minute.
Right.
And so then when Brandon says he's irreplaceable, Dave's whole point is, look, if you've been here and you understand what we are and you understand who we are, you understand that one, no one, like I made this point the other day, like, I'm replaceable. I am. Like Barstool would – no, listen, Barstool, if I left, Barstool would suffer. But it's the Tyler tweet, right? Like the world just – they're just going to go on. What's the exact tweet? Like she's just going to keep going on living without you?
Yeah.
Like the world just keeps going on. Like we all have a little bit of an ego. We all have an inflation of an ego. But like the world's going to keep going on. No one is irreplaceable in that respect, especially someone who's been here for a minute. So when Brandon tweets irreplaceable, Kevin and I talked about that on Friday night. We're like, that's a trigger right there. That's going to set Dave off.
What did Dave gain? If he had seen that tweet and just taken his phone and thrown it into a lake and said nothing,
Agreed, but here's what I'm saying. Dave Portnoy is never going to throw his phone in a lake.
No.
Right, and that's also – it's why he is so successful, because he –
1,000%.
He will fight back. He will say what he thinks. And you could make the argument.
You could really make the argument on a big level that this is the first time Dave's gut has, like, truly steered him the wrong direction. Sure, like, little, like, mishaps here and there. But usually when he, like, sets his mind and his gut to something, it results in $100 million for him. Right. And now this is the first time he's not well-versed in this racial shit. His gut led him wrong, and he's like, he doesn't know what to fucking do about it.
For sure. And I mean, Dan, when we were on the phone, one of the times we talked, I said, and I truly believe this, and people who don't know him are going to think this is, like, just me trying to, like, put on for him. I truly believe Dave is physically incapable of being racist because he's too self-involved.
Yes.
It's not even that. It's just too – Dave cares about one thing. It's Dave. Right. And that's Barstool by proxy, because Barstool is Dave. You cannot separate the two. He's too self-absorbed to care about anyone else, regardless of race, creed, any of it. Then it's like you're laughing because you know it's true.
Yeah, right? 100% true.
Of course.
But the only thing he does – extend outside of his own bubble is this weird loyalty thing where he's like, you're never going to get fired. You're never going to get a pay cut. I'll never cut you because, you know, whatever. And he wants that feeling in return. And you mentioned that, like, it's a family issue where you could turn to your brother or your uncle. Brandon Newman and Mooj, not a brother and uncle yet. They're new to the family, you know?
I'm not going to defend Mooj.
So Brandon,
if someone wants to quit, I'm not going to bash them on the way out for whatever reason they want to go. You know what I mean? If other people do, I'm not going to say, hey, don't do that. But I just thought it was bad. Like with everything else, I just thought it was bad timing.
Well, it's just bad to have it on Twitter. Twitter is a no-win situation. You can't have a nuanced conversation. You can't have – like, anything you say on Twitter will be taken – well, the minute you tweet it out, it is taken – a million different ways by a million different eyeballs. And that's just how it works. That's just the medium. It's just not a place where you can actually hash something out, understand context, understand tone, understand, like, you know, if Brandon's tweeting what he's laughing about it, like, we don't know.
Right.
But it was also Brandon saying, like, I have to, like, do you want me to stay and fix the culture? And I get what he's saying, because I think if you look at the Barstool evolution and where we are now versus, like you said, Coley, like, 5 years ago, it was seven white dudes all sitting in their apartments. Like, now we have people from all walks of life. Dave's point is, you haven't been here enough to tell me that, like, the culture is toxic. Like, that's just not.
Yeah, fact. It's fucking toxic, but not for those reasons.
Right.
It's toxic totally differently. But yeah, I mean, there is a point of, like, well, we'll be the new guys to help you understand this. But then you have to very carefully explain, I am talking about one piece of the Barstool culture, which you guys are not even we're uneducated in, you know, like, it's like we fucked that up, but it's also just like, you guys don't even know. So yes, let me come and try to help you learn this and fix that, while also not tearing down what's a pretty loyal and functioning and profitable and popular culture. And I think the way Dave mishandled it was the same way that I thought Willie and Brandon mishandled it. Where it was like, we needed precision and we all came in with haymakers, and it makes it look like you're offending me, you're against me, and it's like, you're actually closer than you realize, but everyone reacted so fucking quick and so hard that it got muddled.
Well, what's crazy is, like, I think a year ago, if there was no corona, the world was operating normal, I think the George Floyd thing happens, me and Tyler are the only ones in the company to talk about it. And I'm not saying that as like an indictment on anyone else, but I think we would have been the only ones who talked about it, and the company would have moved on. The world would have moved on. Like, I don't think the whole world would have stopped like it did. You know what I mean? So I'm not even saying it just about Barstool. A month ago, I was super proud that we were able to all use our platforms to talk about it, to talk about everything that was happening. I was very proud of that. That was the growth. And it's not me being like, hey, give us credit for being decent human beings. It's not that at all. But I know in the past we have been told, like, hey, don't talk about certain things. This is an escape. This is comedy. Do this. So for us to have that kind of growth, I thought was very pivotal. I thought it was huge. I was proud of the company for how we handled that. So this just felt like a complete 180 back in the other direction. I think that's why it hurt even a little bit more.
It's yeah, like, but I'm sure it feels that way. My vibe on it is much more like two steps forward, one step back. Like it was a setback, but I think we're in a better spot despite the antics and all that. Like I think Dave, even issuing that apology, even in the next days kind of seemingly undoing it, it's like we're inching towards it and we're having conversations. We have more diversity. I do believe like next time we'll handle it better. Not even from I wish it was coming from a point of view of like, I understand the Black Lives Matter cause, but it will probably be more of like, we can't fuck up again. But either right. way, we will be doing the more correct things in the future. And I don't think it was a complete reversal of everything that's happened.
No, that's not what I'm trying to say, but it did feel like we were just cruising along and then got into like a 17 car pileup.
But yep. this is also just a part of getting bigger, having more voices. And I don't think outside of maybe just not tweeting it and having the conversation on radio, I don't think Dave's message was to Brandon Newman. I don't disagree with really, because if you do think he's racist, you probably should quit. I don't think he's racist. Like and if you have been here for a minute, maybe you got to learn how this place works a little bit more before you tell us like everything's wrong. And so I don't think Dave was like wrong in that situation. I struggle with this a lot because my job is to make people laugh and give people an escape. But it's also weird seeing the evolution of Barstool and understanding that we have a platform and we reach so many people. And how do you talk about important subjects without being preachy, without telling people how to think, without ruining that ability to be the escape for right. people. And it's a really hard thing to do. It like I have really struggled with it because I don't know when, you know, like you said, Coley, like you would probably be the only one to talk about George Floyd. I wouldn't have been comfortable because I just don't know. I'm not equipped mentally. I think that's okay to say. I think it's yeah. okay to be like, hey, I'm not like – I'm a smart enough guy, but I'm not a genius and I don't understand things. Like I listen a lot. I try to listen and be a better person, but I also can't explain it very well.
Right.
I'm in a deep end over here, and to put my hand up and be like, hey guys, I'm in a deep end. I need some help. Like my job is to piss my pants and fucking play video games and make people laugh. And again, I know there's bigger things in life
for sure.
And I have a platform and it's important. But I think also just admitting that, just being like, hey, I'm in over my head. I can't navigate these waters the way that some other people can.
Well, sure.
So instead of trying to fake it and trying to navigate these waters or trying to tell people how to think or preach to people, I'm going to tell you when I can't do it, when sure. I've reached my limitations as an on-air talent. That's just, and I think when you look around sports media, a lot of people don't have that ability to have that little self-awareness. They're like, wait, this isn't like, maybe I should just take a step back here and let other people talk. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this about you, Coley. I'm just saying how hard it is to find this evolution and fully understand, like, how do we balance everything in a world that's constantly changing? And it really is constantly changing. I know
for sure, 1,000%.
5 years ago wasn't a long time ago. 5 years was a long time ago.
Five internet years.
Yeah, 5 internet years, culture, comedy, all these things. Like 5 years ago, Me Too hadn't happened. Think about that. Like right. fucking Harvey Weinstein was making movies. Like, and right. again, I'm not defending anything. I'm just saying when you live on the internet, it moves so fucking fast. And trying to evolve with the internet is always a difficult thing. So sometimes putting your hand up and being like, hey, I don't really know how to do this. I don't know how to talk about this. I think it's totally okay.
I think where we run into trouble, though, like I get the escape thing when it's like people don't want to talk about politics. Politics ain't going anywhere. Like there's going to be presidential elections and political problems. So we should be an escape for that. When you're talking about like an issue where it's like, let's treat other humans right, I don't think we should be escaping from that. I think you should be forced to fucking sit there and stew in it because that's the only way it's going to change. And that's where I think people want us to be involved. So it's like, if you know, I definitely don't have the ability to articulate it the right way, but we should all at least understand that the vibe here on this one is like, let's all just not be horrendous to each other.
Right. And I thought Big Cat, with you guys, and pardon my take, you guys went out and you got Arian Foster and gave him the place, the platform to speak. Like, I think that's you being like, hey, I don't have to say it. We have this friend.
He knows what you're talking about. Yeah.
Listen to fucking him. And right. I still think maybe the best thing I've heard discourse-wise throughout all of this was when he said it's not guilt, it's empathy.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot of people hear fucking idiots use that term, white guilt, and then they go, oh, what did I do? Like, yeah, right, you didn't do anything, but you see something bad happening and you feel bad about it. Like, there's nothing right. wrong with feeling bad. You want those people to not be feeling worse.
Yes, absolutely. And more than anything, like the reason why I appreciated Arian like going on part of my take and talking about it is I truly do not think that anyone changes their mind about a topic overnight. They just don't. Like, and that's the problem with going back to the problem with Twitter. Like, people think that if you just tweet something, I keep laughing about you see it every day. People saying like on Twitter, like wear a mask. And I wear a mask every day. Like, I'm not disagreeing with that. You're tweeting to people who are probably wearing masks.
Right.
Like, the people who are not wearing masks are probably not on Twitter following, you know,
and if they are,
reporter X who covers college football.
Like, oh,
I'm like, oh shit.
I really changed my mind on this like ridiculously politicized topic because of a tweet. No.
Right. This beat reporter from Oklahoma State told me to wear a mask in. So yeah. I think using my platform and our platform to just try to add as many voices, and that goes back to the whole, you know, like I really hope Tyler sticks around because having more voices, having that like wide array of opinions and backgrounds, that's how you can get people to become more sympathetic, just better people. It's slowly like having things explained, understanding things, seeing different perspectives, and over time you evolve as a person. No one is fucking perfect, and no one is a finished product. I don't care what age you are. I think about how stupid I was when I was 25, how stupid I was when I was 35 or 30, how stupid I was a month ago when I was 35. Like, If you're sitting here and telling me you're a finished product, you're a fucking liar and you're an asshole. So I think just, you know, admitting that and saying I got shit to do, I got work to do, I got, you know, it's step by step. It's not going to happen overnight, but becoming a better person and listening to other people is the big message that I've taken from all this.
When Breonna Taylor was murdered, Tyler talked about her the next day.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't months later. When all these Ferguson protesters woke up dead and quote unquote suicides, Tyler was saying their name. These aren't even things like people keep putting it on me. Like these aren't things I knew without right. Tyler. When Maya Moore stopped playing sports, the only person in media, all media, who was talking about it was Tyler. Not last week when the finished product came out and Bleacher Report tweets out the fucking video of her at the jail reaching or greeting that freed man. It was Tyler. That's what we'd be losing.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know right. I mean? It's a great point. It's and a great point.
It's not like his job to do that.
No.
But like it's something like if you feel deeply about it, like this is becoming such a thing with Dave. And like, I really, you know, I do think Dave is going to be hard to ever crack. I think Dave is, you know, it's like, we make jokes about like being the old man on the porch. And it's like, I think that's Dave. But there's a lot of other people here and a lot of other fans of ours who are open and would like learn from a guy like Tyler. And I would just hate to see him like give up that. I don't even know if I want to call it opportunity because he's probably like, I don't want to fucking do that. I want to talk about basketball. But it is, you know, it's something that I know he feels passionately about. And I feel like he can reach a great deal of people who are more receptive to it.
Kevin, he definitely feels passionately about black people not being killed for no reason.
Yeah, big-time passion. but more than that, beyond the jokes, like, I think he's passionate about educating people.
For sure.
And it's probably, again, he doesn't want to. He'd rather just crack jokes about basketball. But I think if I could guess, I bet the feeling of him reaching somebody, it makes it tick for him. It makes him, you know, I think that's part of who he is. And I hope that he doesn't let, you know, one guy or one, because listen, a lot of people fucking hate their boss or whatever. I don't know how he feels about Dave, but even if he's out on Dave completely, I think there's still a lot of good for him to do that I hope he would take into account.
I actually, I'll push back on one thing, Kevin. I actually do think it's part of his job and not the way that like, oh, it's Tyler's job to tell us all these things. I think it's Tyler's job to be authentically Tyler and be himself. Right. And that's why people come here. And that goes back to the bigger point. The goal is to hire more people who have different backgrounds, who are authentic to themselves. And if they feel passionate about something and it's something that they like feel in their core and they want to talk about it, this is the place you can talk about it. And there's no, you know what I mean? Like no one says to you, hey, stay away from this subject. Don't talk about this subject. That's the beauty of it is that what or you feel.
Take that one step further because he could probably go to other places right now that would actually welcome him like talking about these topics. What I don't think you'll get is you can also do it in the middle of a 4 hour and 45 minute.
Right.
Where you can also, because if you want to get Tyler being authentic Tyler, you got to let him do the crazy like mixtape shit too. And right. That's where Barstool, that's where Barstool's actually a good thing. It's we do all that and 99% of us are actually getting better about the serious shit too. And we're talking about like the one guy who's struggling to articulate it. It's like, don't lose sight of all the rest because you're perfect for it, man.
I actually do think though too, I think Dave cares and I think he cares a lot. He cares a lot about all these issues and also about his – I know he cares a lot about his employees. But I think he cares a lot about these issues. I think it's back to my other point is like he's probably similar to me right now. Is like I don't really know how to talk about it. Yeah. And
it's getting conflated with being attacked. He was thinking about the mob when he should have been thinking about his employees. He was thinking about – like the Barstool fans who don't want you to bend the knee when he should be thinking about the fans who are more conscious. You know, he's just approaching it the wrong way, but I guarantee his heart's actually in the right place.
Well, he went to become Grudge Dave.
Yes.
Who I 99 out of 10 times back. But the person he was grudging against was himself in that video.
Yeah.
Like you can talk about the account and why they were putting those videos out when they did. But it's not like those were deep fakes. It's right. Not as if we didn't post those videos and they weren't just sitting there waiting for someone else to repost them. It's completely self-inflicted. So him grudging with himself, who of course he doesn't know who to attack.
Right.
Because he knows it's self-inflicted by him. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's been conflated with, oh, well, people are attacking me for posting Tom Brady's kid, or people are attacking me for calling Goodell Hitler, things like this. Like, no, this is, he doesn't know how to just be like, hand up, I fucked up. Cause for 20 years, he hasn't fucked up in his mind. Right. He knows I guarantee he knows he fucked up here.
Mm-hmm. He has to.
I've heard him say it in this. I only watched the second video. So I know he knows he fucked up, but he doesn't know the next step.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
And that's okay. That's what I'm saying. Like I
it's okay if you say that.
Right.
You can't not know what to do, but defiantly act like you do know that you're doing the right thing. You gotta be a little more receptive to like somebody help me out here. And he just that's not
a new territory for him. Like he's never had to be like, I'm the one who did this ever. Because it's usually someone else who's just some fucking stick in the mug who doesn't like comedy. You know, most of the time it is about comedy.
Right.
I still don't know what the joke was there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. In that video. That's why I was like, hey, this isn't funny. And he was like, I'm going to do it anyways. And that's his right. He's the boss. You know what I mean? He doesn't have to listen to me ever. I'm just one of his employees. That's it. But this, I still don't know the joke there. And I don't know if he does either. And I think that's part of why it's hard too. You're defending. Like, no one cares more about comedy than me at this company. Like, it's all I've ever studied in my life. I know comedy better than I know sports. It's what I do. Like, am I the funniest person? No. I wish I could be like the Belichick of comedy. You know what I mean? Just like, I can't play it, but I can coach it. I can see it. I know the talent when it's there. That's why I fucking hired Tyler, because he's one of the funniest people we have. I had to fight. Kevin, you were there. We had to fight to get Tyler hired. Because he was different. And it was just like, it didn't jump out. Dave's a big knee-jerk reaction guy. He shoots from the hip. This is something he should have been like, and that's why he's successful. He always shoots from the hip.
And that's also why he's in this position. He shot from the hip and said some dumb shit.
But well, like that's like I can't even be completely mad at that because that's how he got successful. But this was the one time where he should have taken a breath and approached it more like a sniper than a fucking 5 cent pistol kind of guy. You know what I mean?
And I'm sure some dork online is gonna take what I'm saying next is like, oh, you're defending Dave through and through. But let's just state some facts on like what the last week. We were off all week. Dave's in Nantucket by himself. That matters because I think what happens a lot, if we were running a regular office on radio all day, conversations get had, things get talked about. You have an ability to talk through it. You have an ability to explain yourself better. You have an ability to understand everything that's going on better. This is it was unfortunate that it was like, it's got to play out on Twitter, which is never good. Like I said, I've said a million times, it's the worst. I mean, to do another Tyler quote, like we're not here to argue because it just doesn't work on Twitter.
No.
And, you know, not being on radio and not being able to be around people and have people be like, hey man, like what's up? Like that does, it does affect how everything plays out. And again, it's not a defense. I'm just stating the reality of it. I felt so alone last week, sitting at home, being like, I would love to get on radio right now and be able to talk for 2 hours and explain how I'm feeling. And guess what I'm not going to do? Fucking tweet about it. Because if I tweet about it, it's going to be the worst thing possible. And there's no way you can do it correctly. So we fall into that as well. And it was, you know, shitty timing that trying to navigate this happens during a week when we don't have any tools that we usually have to do that.
Mac Weldon.
Yeah.
Folks.
In an uncomfortable time, comfortable clothes. Mac
Weldon. I'm going to order my Mac Weldon right now, actually, because I got a gift card for the rundown. So.
Oh, me too. I got a gift card for Mixtape. Mac Weldon is better than whatever you're wearing right now. That's just a fact. This is a fact, Kevin. I know you guys both, because of the rundown, have been rocking Mac Weldon for decades now.
Oh yeah, I got the underwear, the sweatpants, and the shirts. It's like
shirts are awesome.
Mac, by the way, when we go back to the real world, I don't think I'm wearing real clothes again. I think it's just Mac Weldon for life.
I mean, Kevin, you couldn't be further behind my eight ball that I set out decades ago. Like, I'm sorry. Mac Weldon is a premium men's essentials brand that believes in smart design with premium fabrics. Sometimes you only get one. Mac Weldon's got both. Mac Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. It is a well-designed website. Whoever designed that website, we need to hire so we can redesign ours. They will be, and this is a fact, Mac Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and more. I don't even know if there is more in the realm of clothes. They're claiming there's more that you will ever wear. They have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are now, that's not antimicrobial. There we go.
That's a motherfucker to put into and read copy. It's like, come on, guys.
Like, that's not a word I come across every day.
It just means you don't stink. So let's come up with an easier word for that, like anti-odor or something.
Okay? Yeah, they eliminate the odor. They want you to be comfortable, so if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep it. They'll still refund you, no questions asked. The folks at Mac Weldon have even created their totally free loyalty program called Weldon Blue. That sounds like a Harvard grad. Level one gets you free shipping for life. And once you reach level two by spending $200, Mac Weldon will start giving you 20% off every order for the next year. This is why I didn't go into like economics and business. That feels like they're losing money. Go take advantage of that before they realize the error of their ways. What did I buy from Mac Weldon? I revamped my entire like joggers collection because they're comfortable, like the best sweatpants you've ever had, but you can dress them up to where it looks like you're just like, oh no, these are just khakis, these are just slacks. But no, I'm out here in sweatpants. You're none the wiser.
You wear it to the bar, you can wear it to the office, you wear it out on a date. It's like I think we're in the world right now of just pants. Just pants.
Yeah.
You don't have to specify anymore. I'm just wearing pants.
For 20% off your first order, visit macweldon.com/tape and enter promo code tape. That's MacWeldon.com/tape. I don't want this to – like, I'll always – Dave's calling for people to defend him, which is very funny to me. But I – like, he's done more for me than anyone in this business ever considered doing. So I don't feel like it's biting the hand that feeds me by being like, hey, dude, you fucked up. That's where I think the family part comes into it. Because it's not – I'm going to leave. I'm going to trash this place. I'm never going to trash this place unless we fuck up way worse than this. And this is a big fuck up. There's no two ways about it. I think we should wear it, not run from it, and be better moving forward. And like I said, Dave is the only person in this industry who was ever remotely interested in hiring me. He's the only one who ever gave me a chance. He gave me this platform. I wouldn't be, he allowed me to move back to Boston when I was having a kid. He didn't have to do that. Like I said, he laid out the blueprint for me to be me on the internet. Because if anyone likes me, which not a lot of people do, but anyone who does like me.
Out here fucking fishing.
Cole. I wouldn't be. Well, it's not you two. You two definitely don't. but I wouldn't be able to be this version of me anywhere else. I'd be super watered down. I'd be edited. All this. But instead, I get to be the writer I want to be. I get to be the tweeter I want to be. You know where I stand on everything if you listen to me, and I have that freedom because of the company he built and the vision he built it. This may be a little overdramatic, so tell me if I'm being way too over. How I feel about how we're fucking up made me feel on the 4th of July thinking about America. I love this country. I love this company. I want them to work perfectly. And not fuck around with people. And not, I want to be more proud in them than I have been the last week. Like America with these fucking masks and racism, grow the fuck up. This company with the shit that was said, we're better than that. Like Tyler says, we're too funny, we're too talented for this to be the shit we're dealing with. This shouldn't be something we're even talking about. You know what I mean? We're better than that. The brilliance of comedy is seeing a subject that most people can't joke about and being able to find the way to joke about it. I talked about this with Big Cat. Dave always says Barstool is a comedy club, which doesn't make any sense because nobody hates comedy more than Dave Portnoy.
You know.
He likes Chris Rock.
He loves
Gervais. That's fucking it.
You don't ever watch or do any of that shit, man.
He doesn't like bits. Mm-hmm. He doesn't like sketches. He likes talking shit. I think he's one of the great shit talkers in like sports entertainment history. You know what I mean? Like that's, I don't know where else to quantify him. I think that's what he does best. He likes busting balls. He likes the locker room aspect of it. That's what he's tried to build. So for him to compare us to a comedy club where comedy clubs are notoriously not filmed, not on the record, and is where people are working out their bits to see if they're funny or not. That's right. Not what we do. Like you said, we shoot from the hip. We put it all out there. It's very raw. It's very authentic in that way. But it's not like a comedy club at all.
No, not even remotely close. That's why I think sometimes, again, he's not going to articulate all of these things like the best way. But everything you just described, by the way, Coley, about what he's done for you, he's done for everybody.
Right.
And he'll do – he did it for Brandon. He did it for Mooj. He did it for new guys. And you don't have to be a 15-year, I read it when I was in middle school type of guy. It's not like he was rewarding you. He's just like, if you come in here, I give you a paycheck. I give you a platform. I give you freedom. I got your back and you go.
Right.
And I think that really matters for something. Like if you need that plus the perfect speech and the perfect everything, then Dave ain't for you. But I think we've lost sight a little bit. I know words matter, but also actions and important things like paychecks and making a living and freedom and shit matter too. And Dave gives that to like absolutely everybody. So I hope that people include in his criticisms about his words also gets credit for his actions because someone like Coley can understand it because he's lived it. New people have to realize you're going to look back on this in 10 years if you've done it right. And it's going to be because of all those things Dave provided.
Well, and Dave's never going to be a pat on the back guy. That's just not who he is. But I do think what has happened with, you know, us growing is that the first generation guys, which are, you know, us, the three of us, Feidelberg, K. Marco, and you know, you can name a couple other Hank, like Gaz.
Gaz.
We have taken Dave's got a million things going on. He's not gonna, you know, micromanage people, he's not gonna talk. But I know both of you have done it where you've taken people under your wing and tried to help people out. I mean, that's kind of why I was so hurt by Mooj saying that you're racist if you stay, because right. I fucking helped him as much as I've helped anyone in a long time and stood up for him. And he gave it me no, you know, debate or like, you know, the phone call was basically, this is what I'm doing. Fuck you. So, you know, this is a place where, you know, Dave's not going to hold your hand, but there are other people who help you out and there are other people who care and we want everyone to succeed. And I think, you know, it's that's actually a fun part of my job. I think, Kevin, you probably agree. Like, I remember when we were just six or seven of us, it was super competitive. It was super, super competitive because we were all blogging the same stories and fighting for the same page views and all that stuff. But as we've grown, I get just as much enjoyment of being funny as helping someone else be funny and helping someone else succeed and having other people be, you know, like realize their dreams and goals in this fucked up, weird industry. So that part matters. And I think we have those people here. And that's where, like, when people say the culture's bad, it's like, no, I don't think so, because there's a lot of people who care and there's a lot of people who help each other and kind of pulling on the same rope here.
Yeah. I mean, I love the company. I love Dave, but I don't think that, and he's never going to listen to 51 minutes of mixtape.
He might
to hear that.
Like you said, the only ism that Dave has is narcissism.
But
what's up, Dave? How's Nantucket?
I don't think it's like, I hope he understands that when I criticize him or when you criticize him or when Kevin criticizes him, that it's coming from a place of we're all on the same team. We're all striving for the same goals. And that, I think that matters too. And if that's his problem with the younger guys speaking up, however he wants those kind of people to speak up on, and he can be like, hey, this is why it's wrong. I don't think that's a bad way of going about it, but I do know there are things we need to be better at.
Yeah, I think we also have a lot of like classic, probably what's the fucking buzzword, like toxic masculinity or whatever. Like we never talked about issues because our issues were fucking, you know, superficial. Like you're making fun of me and I'm busting your balls and we're hyper competitive, but we're all, you know, middle class guys. We all have a very good life. There's really no actual problems. So we never had to have like an emotional conversation or whatever. We've never, you know, I've never had to actually talk about my feelings with Dave's feelings. And he's certainly not going to do it. If we're not doing that, he's not going to be able to do it with Brandon Newman and Mooj and any new guys. And that's where I think we run into the problem of like, you know, I think there's a lot of us who are I think we're going to make progress in our actions. I think it's hard for us to articulate in our words sometimes because our whole lives have just been, we talk shit, we talk loud, we talk fast, we bust balls, we're never serious. And now all of a sudden you're asking me to be open about my emotions and heavy topics. And it's like, I'm not good at that. Like Dan said, we're not good at that. And if you're expecting that, maybe this place isn't for you. But if you can understand why we're not there and also acknowledge all the good things, I think this place should be for you.
And like, to be totally honest here, the fact that we're a company that has been built from scratch, we're not ESPN, we're not Fox, we're not CBS, the core people, and I know Dave always takes pride in this, and I do too, the core guys are still here, no one's left, you know what I mean? And the feeling that the work that we've put in and the sacrifices we've made, and I'm not saying that I love my fucking job. I love it. But there have been sacrifices. We've all had to make sacrifices to help build this company. So, of course, it's going to be a little different for new people versus old people. But that's – I read the fucking ESPN book. Like, they had rocky roads when they went from fucking four people and one satellite to building a huge, huge company. This is the reality of it. This is how it works. It's not.
And we're doing it in the digital era where it's like there's no secrets, man. ESPN had a lot of dirt that was under the rug. All of our shit's documented. Everything's in real time. And so like, yeah, I mean, in my opinion, I've always said this, we don't really have any competitors, like direct competitors, right? No. And we are the blueprint for the success, the blueprint for the failure. We're all of it, and it's all playing out in real time. And spoiler alert, we don't know what we're fucking doing. And I'll be honest, it's crazy to me that it's taken this long to even have like a major, you know, we've had our hiccups, but having a major problem this far along, I think is a testament to how we usually are on the right path. And like, we'll figure it out. And then that'll be part of the Harvard business study one day. The story of Barstool will be the ups, the downs, and how we, you know, at the end we made it there, but it wasn't easy.
Yes. Agreed.
No, it hasn't been easy. And it's another reason why when people are like, well, just quit. I'll join your Patreon. You can go anywhere. It's not about that. I've helped in my small way try and build this place up. I'm just going to abandon that.
We want to walk away from that. That's
not only that, but let's also just acknowledge that our fans are the most loyal, and what they've, you know, it sounds like lip service, but they're consumption of everything we've done, buying t-shirts, listening to podcasts, watching videos, has built this company. Like, that's what it is. And you can't all of a sudden flip a switch and be like, yeah, fuck everyone. Like, those guys and girls have had our back for years and years and years. And we're in a weird spot now. I'm sure you feel this too, Kevin. Like, the fact that, like, you look back and you're like, there are people who started reading. And Coley is the perfect example, but like someone who started reading me when I was 27 years old, and I'm 35 and I have a kid, and it's like, you've grown up with me. You have an attachment to me. That's real. That's not fake. That's real. That's not like I'm just Twitter friends. Like, that's a real bond that has been built on years and years and years of content. And so, and I'm proud of that. I'm fucking proud of that.
And those people are the examples that probably would follow you anywhere or buy a Patreon or whatever. But what's cool about Barstool is like, it's easy for fans when it's all under one umbrella. You know, I like Pardon My Take, so I'm going to buy Pardon My Take shirts. And in a way, you're putting money in Coley's pocket because it's rising tides. If you're on your own, you're on your fucking own. And it's not as easy to do this shit, you know?
No, there's a lot. It's not even. Like, that part doesn't even bother me as much. Like, if I had to go put in the work and market myself and cold call companies, like, that part doesn't bother me. This is where I've always wanted to be. I want this place to just be better. And it's not that we need to make some giant stride. I think it's a very easy stride. So I'd like, let's just make the fucking stride. But it's easy for us three other people who've been here for a long time to have pride in it. I want Tyler to have pride in it. Yeah, he wants to have pride in it.
I want you to feel that way. And he's like, I haven't been reading that since I was in middle school, dude. So I don't feel that way. But trying to get people in like that is kind of the key. And I can understand when something like this is a big deterrent for that.
Big.
Yeah. But I also, you know, I would hope that the conversations Dan has had and I've had and everybody else and the outpouring from a lot of the fans are outweighing – you know, the examples in the company or the examples in the fan base that are rallying against it.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really speak for him. I just know he's hurting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope it's something that time heals, but I mean, if it's something else, like, I appreciate the distance, but I also got to know, man, like, if I don't know if he's going to be listening to this, but like, Tyler, let me know, dude. Like, if you know, I would do anything. If you want me to do it, I'll do it. I want you here. I want people like you here. It's not just about you. And like, if I gotta say more, do more, behind the scenes, in front of the scenes, public, whatever. I can understand the distance for himself, but if it is something that, you know, he's still interested in coming back and wants to grow on it, grow and work together, like, let me know, man.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Yeah, I don't think he's made any sort of decision. Like I said, I can't speak for him. I know he's thinking about both sides of it, though, and I know he's taking his time with it as he always does. Obviously, I want him to stay. If he doesn't, I'm always going to support him wherever he goes. But yeah, I guess I don't think this was like a fun episode to listen to. I appreciate you two. So I don't know. I
appreciate Tyler giving the blessing. I think that means a lot.
It would have been whatever fucking trouble I would have gotten in. I wouldn't have done it if he said no. I really wouldn't have. And people aren't going to believe that. It is what it is. I know how Tyler feels.
I believe that 100%. But I mean, it means a lot, I think, to get that blessing. And I hope that he knows that means that along with you, he's got a couple other allies. And I know, like, many more. And I don't know if he's had direct contact with them, but I know many, many more people in this company who do have his back and want to see him here and want to get better. And we hope we can for you, dude.
All right. Well, I hope I said everything I wanted to say. I hope I said it correctly. I don't want anyone at this company or listening to take it the wrong way. Because, like I said, I do love this company. I appreciate everything this company's done for me. I just want it to be what I know it can be.
Takes a little bit of time, a little bit of effort, but no reason it can't be.
Can I end on a funny part? Can we want to end funny?
No.
Okay. Are you, Coley, are you going to like join up like that LeBron, when he wins the title this year, it doesn't count?
Well, it's the Lakers, so yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Because this fucking bubble, dude, everyone's going to drop out until it's just LeBron playing against no one.
LeBron will be like, everyone else could be dead, and he'd be like, we're finishing this fucking season.
Yes.
Yo, that picture of Dame Lillard being like, I feel like I'm about to go do a bid. It's like, oh, my God, this is a catastrophe. And it's like there's one dude who wants the league to happen, and he's making it happen.
Right.
What up? I'm trying to put my dick inside of your pants. Yeah. I'm rolling out, right there rolling out, smoking backwoods in Northern Bay. I was getting protected by my savages, yellow school buses as a zany, causing me to sleep at night and plan it.
Yeehaw! I got some jobs all day, roll out the jar all day, I be on Mars all day, I'm with the stars all day, boss all day, roll up the wall all day, babysit your dog all day, about to watch you jog all day, my family don't matter,
Bank a bad bitch, I got a foreign son. Tummy gun, found a real tummy gun. I dropped a million on my chain like I know beer buns. And I got a head full of hair like I'm from Amazon. Glaze that ass like a candle, honey. Ferragamo shower shoes for me. Light bulb, Nick got jewels on it. Like an old school, I got support on it. Sing, abracadabra. Abracadabra, kill all you bastards. I don't wanna wrestle, but the bread ambassador. No, nothing that's matter to him. I'm ballin' like Patrick Ewing. Turn up on you bastards. I mean, it goes like Casper. Everything goes smooth for me, like I got my masters. Fubu platinum up, birds in the Acura. Apples platinum up, I'm killing these bastards. Like family don't matter.
Country Billy made a couple milli, trying to part the road rush inside the Piccadilly.
Oh, he had a couple strikes out the street,
of course. Got another half a million white tees, of course.
Don't you pay me? Don't you take this shit for granted? Don't you pay me? When I put my knee in your pants, don't you pay me? When I catch up with your bitch, you know I'm smashing. I can put her on her feet.
Oh,
head gasket.
You gotta tell me what's wrong.
I can't wait to be strong till the morning. Better put my thing in your mouth right when you yawn. You gotta put that push my lip whenever I'm on one. I think the red dog saw I put my bum on. I'm about to fuck somebody, girl, off this rum rum.
Go ahead.
I'm chasing all of these rats like I was Tom, yeah. But it don't even matter, I was trying to kill these bastards.
My family don't matter.
What's happened? What's that?
What's my pills to do? 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 What's my pills to do?
W6, you feeling me? I'm feeling you. Falling deep, too deep. Bubble dream to catch myself. I'll be having nightmares shaped like you. You'll be blowing smoke clouds shaped like me. I'll be having nightmares shaped like you. You'll be blowing smoke clouds shaped like me. Two cups, can I drown in my mind too? Hear the truck spinning by, can't you fight too? This is shit that'd be bad, so bad it's good for you, eh? Take a hit, we can sip like it's medicine. Chemistry or remedy, there's no better than this. The shit that be bad, so bad, it's good for you.
Like family don't matter. What's my feeling? What's the deal? 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 What's my feeling?